heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, is it our foreign adversaries or our domestic operatives? Who is the real threat to Americans? Who is the threat? That used to be an easy question to answer years ago, and I'm just keeping it real right up front with you here, but it's not so easy to answer that question anymore, in the affirmative, to say, well, yeah, clearly, Malcolm, it's foreign adversaries and our enemies, right? I don't know, my fellow Americans, there's a lot of damage being done here at home, and it seems to be coming fast and furious, no pun intended, right? And so there's a lot here to talk about today around the world, of course, and the foreign adversaries we will be talking about. But one of the things you're seeing the last day or so, you see this fight on the FISA Act. That took front and center in Congress. Fascinating what happened. In fact, to be sure, Speaker Johnson hightailed it down to Mar-a-Lago. Can you imagine? Right. OK, well, and that wasn't just a check on the weather down there, but it was because Trump was pushing back on some of his posts and all on True Social and Conversation, telling Republicans not to support and vote for that. Of course, Senate Republicans were having a heart attack over that and said, what's the matter? And we'll talk about that. I think this is really rich. Yes, this is the same FISA that tried to ambush him in 2016. That is correct. This is the same FISA, the operatives who went into the courts and the FBI to steal and to cheat and lie and do all the things we've seen exposed. And really, that set up probably the worst 4 years of a president that we've ever seen, that whole incident right there with FISA. So now they want another license. And then, you know, we become a little cynical at some point, don't we now? Right. I mean, really. And then they say, well, what's the matter? We're trying to go after the bad guys. Yeah, well, that's cool. Except a lot of the bad guys are right here in D.C. What do you want from me? Right. And then you see the threats that Iran is posing to Israel and of course, D.C., which is little Satan and big Satan, naturally. But this is getting pretty serious here, as we've been talking about and predicting with the Middle East and what could transpire there. You know, also, at a very, very interesting story we're going to talk about today. And I don't know if you've been following this at all, but it is about these twin daughters that Kim Jong-un out of North Korea had, and one that's being held hostage in Beijing. This can't make this stuff up. But I'll tell you, that is a fascinating story that a lot of people don't really know a lot about. So let me tell you up front here, we'll have General Paul Vallelet is with me today, and Dr. Li Mingyang is here as well. We'll start with General Paul Vallelet here. Just a little background, real brief, but what a career. 31 years in the U.S. Army before he retired as Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army Pacific out of Hawaii. And spent a few years since then. That was in 92. Over 15 years of experience in special operations, psychological operations, could use that today for sure. He served as consultant to the Commanding General Special Operations Command, as well as the DOD, Anti-Drug and Counterterrorism Task Force. Safeguard the American Dream is a movement he's been involved with, StandUpAmericaUS.org. And also his books are in the America Out Loud bookstore. He's got a couple of new ones, by the way. I'll tell you about those a little bit after here. But Invisible Treason in America and Beyond Treason, the Aftermath of Destruction. He's the kind of military leader that you want, because he calls balls and strikes as he sees them. You don't see that a lot today, friends, for sure. And also Dr. Li Mingyang will be here a little bit after in the broadcast. And she is an independent virologist and was the whistleblower for sure, who called out the CCP. She has got to be one of the biggest voices for freedom in the world. And with great pressure and harm to herself, she continues that fight forward every day. One of the most remarkable human beings I've ever had the privilege of meeting, but also getting to know, and a very dear friend, and somebody I have great trust in. So we'll start up front here. General Paul Vallelet, let's jump into this. I want to go right to the Middle East here first, because it's a huge story with massive implications here. And we'll see what transpires as people hear this broadcast over the weekend. It's a moving target, and this news could, let me just put the disclaimer up front here. The news on this story could change at any moment, for sure. So, all right, Iran. Iran is making not just the usual idle threats, which they do repeatedly, regularly, but they are saying that a strike is imminent. And, you know, some people are saying this is a war of psychology, and they kind of enjoy this right now because they've been, all the news is reporting that, oh, big bad Iran is going to attack Israel. Now, on the other side, experts say is that Iran doesn't really want a broader war in the Middle East because they will not be able to sustain that if Israel goes all out, all hell will break loose. Israel, at the same time, is they're on high alert, to say the least. It's a very strange situation. Is this ramping up now? Would Iran do the unthinkable, or is this just a war of psychology and just more of them up to their own games? What do you think?
Well, I think they are preparing for an attack. They've been talking about it a while. They've had plans for attacks using Hezbollah and the rockets in southern Lebanon, plus their own rockets and aircraft launched out of Iran. They have targeted Tel Aviv, they've targeted Haifa, they've targeted the port facilities, the main airport in Israel. So that targeting's already been done by Iran. Now, whether they'll choose Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or some other target to set this off, they well could.
Now, hold on. That's pretty serious what you say there, Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. So let's play that out, please, a moment, General. So if they did that, because there's been a lot of conversation that I've been hearing from folks, whether it's a direct target or, you know, some other target that would be less inflammatory, I guess, to the situation. So if they went for Jerusalem or Tel Aviv in a major strike like that, That's a condition of war there. That's not just not a return of a distant embassy or a consulate. What does that mean if that happens?
Oh, that's very serious. Then it's all out on the part of Israel. Israel has a three-phase plan to attack Iran, by the way. A lot of people don't know about that.
Let's talk about it.
But the satellites, the capability that Israel has, plus the surveillance they have on the borders to be able to pick up any launches coming directly out of Iran or out of southern Lebanon. But the three-phase attack using their air force, in addition, they have a missile capability and a nuclear capability. But the three-phase attack, phase one is really to send, say, the F-16s in, knock out the SAM sites by knocking out the computers with their laser capability, directional weapons that are on the aircraft.
Right.
So keep that in mind. A lot of people don't know about that. The second phase is to send in the second wave of jets, which will take out their command and control facilities, communication facilities, port facilities, airports, particularly where the military would launch any kind of aircraft. And then basically phase three would be a cleanup operation on targets they didn't get in phase one or two. So the Israelis are very sophisticated, very good intelligence. They have operatives inside Iran. And of course they had operatives inside Damascus when Israel hit that consulate the week before last, which sort of set this whole thing off about an imminent threat from Iran.
Right. And so General, Iran knows everything you just said. They know what Israel is capable of doing. And I agree with everything you just said. So why would they then? So when we make a statement like if they attack Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, that would be a condition of what? I mean, that would mean what kind of a signal does that send? And is that just off the charts? Or do you think, I mean, is that a real possibility? Or is that just so far-fetched that that won't happen?
No, it's a possibility. As I've said, Iran's already made their targets up. Nasrallah up with Hezbollah. In southern Lebanon, where they have thousands of rockets already targeted for specific
But General, isn't that a suicide mission on Iran's part? Yes or no?
Well, it well could be, and we don't know what the United States and our national security team would do. They're so weak. Biden's not in charge. Somebody else would have to make a decision, certainly. But we may not do anything. But I hope our generals and admirals are prepared to do something. They become very woke, as you know. I don't have a lot of faith in them right now. But certainly we have the plans that in NATO, we have launch facilities in Italy and Spain. We have our aircraft carrier group over there. So we have a tremendous capability now, not only there, but the Straits of Hormuz, the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea, the Mediterranean. So we have a force over there. We can launch within 60 minutes, if had be.
Okay. All right. Now, we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu knows that there's a lot of politics being played here. I want to talk to you about that next. The politics being that I think it's pretty safe to say, General, that he knows darn well, he can't say it publicly, but he knows that Joe Biden is not his friend. He knows the administration is not. That was clear all the way before this thing even started. But they put a public face on the whole thing to dress the pig up, basically. Okay, so we understand that. We get it. We see where all the players are. But Netanyahu has got to be having fits over the way they're being held hostage. And one side of the mouth, they say, yeah, Israel's got to defend their country. Yeah, Israel's got to do away with Hamas. Yeah, Israel has got to, you know, they say all of this, but on the backside, they decapitate them and cut them off at the knees at the same time, and they don't allow them to do what they want to do. So it comes back to funding and equipment and weaponry. How much, if this gets cut off from the Biden administration, we know with the Palestinians and the terrorists and the votes and the states here that are supporting this. What happens then, General? How does this work out?
Well, Israel has got quite an inventory, and plus they got a manufacturing capability. They're not totally dependent on us.
That's what I figured.
And so they've been stockpiling weapons, especially for their fighter jets and for their rocket missile capability.
So you think they're prepared to go it alone if need be?
And it's quick. When you launch an operation like this, it's very quick. I mean, it's pressing buttons. In 24 hours, a lot of things can be destroyed. So we're not talking a sustained 30, 40-day operation against Iran if something happens. This would be 48 to 72 hours. That's it.
Yeah. Safe to say if that happens, General, I'm going to suggest or say to you, they would go after the leadership to decapitate them. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct. That's okay. Why I said the command and control facilities. They know where the buildings are. They know where they're located.
Yeah.
And they've had that for several years. And they track it monthly, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. By the hour, I'm sure. But now, so you don't have any inclination to know where Biden fits in all this. I see he seems. So listen, he seems to be all over the ballpark. On any given day, he'll come out and make some statement about, you know, being our most important ally, this or that comes out of the blue. And then hours later, another conversation, another one comes out and says he's had enough, that he's not going to support this anymore, and that they're pushing their luck. You don't really know where they fit in all this. I mean, everyone's confused.
Well, he has no cognitive thinking capability analysis as a commander in chief normally would have, not trained in the military, has always been wrong about foreign policy, not very smart guy. Even on a good day, I don't think he can make a rational decision of what to do. Obama is the puppet master and his people.
Yeah.
Then you've got Gordon Austin over there as the Secretary of Defense. And so I don't know where the generals are coming from to guide something like this. Then in a week, we have a very weak national security staff within the White House. I mean, these guys over there are playing a high-level game of chess, and we're playing a low-level game of checkers, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you can see that when they go to the microphone and how they address things. And Jake Sullivan and the other cat there is a stooge, both of them are.
Yeah.
You know, and when they come, you sort of know that. I mean, there's not a comfort zone And they're speaking, you know, when they talk, I mean, it's all talking points that they've been given. And they stated those talking points, even when they lie to your face and they lie to the American people's face. It's just freaking talking points they were given in the back room to do. I mean, it's a joke. The whole thing's
well, the mullahs in Tehran know this.
Right.
The people over there know this. In Lebanon, they know it. In Syria, they know it. In Saudi Arabia, and even the Houthis in Yemen know what's going on.
Right.
As far as what the United States would do or not do.
Right.
Biden wouldn't be in charge. He wouldn't call the shots.
Right. No, we understand that. Well, he hasn't been anyways. We know this. We know this. I mean, they put on a pretty face when they can.
Yeah.
This is kind of a weird setup, but it's the first time in our nation, certainly in our lifetimes. I don't know if this happened 150. I didn't see anything.
Never.
But I've never seen anything like this where you had somebody that was in office as a commander in chief who is not a commander in chief. There's a group of people around him that are running this show. We've never seen that, have we?
Never have had so many incompetent people.
Yeah.
Never in our history.
Yeah, it's very strange. I you don't know what to make out of it anymore. It's
well, even Carter, you know, was Annapolis a graduate, worked on the nuclear programs. He was a smart guy.
Right.
They say he was the worst president, but now we have Biden as the worst president. But at least Jimmy Carter understood the military and understood strategy, you know.
That's right.
But we've never had this situation in this country, and everybody knows it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point you bring up right there. We're not even talking whether, here's the point I want listeners to understand here. We're not even talking whether it's a good point or a bad point or a good strategy or a bad strategy when you mention Carter or Biden or whoever, but we're talking about just knowing what the strategy is and being in command of the strategy, whatever the decision is that you've made. That, general, is the bigger point that we don't have a grasp on right now. Is that said properly?
No, that's right. And when you look at military planning strategy, and I've been involved in a lot of that when I worked in the Pacific and in Europe, even in the Middle East,
right,
that you always have a plan of action. You have objectives. You have alternate courses of action. If you don't do course one, you'll do two or three.
Yeah.
And that's what we call cognitive strategic thinking. A lot of people don't really understand that unless they've been involved in it. But a total analysis, war plan, joint operations using your infantry, using your airborne, special ops, your Navy, you know, you get all that mix of joint forces, and that all has to be pre-planned in case you have to exercise option one, two, or three. And that's what I call a cognitive strategic thinking in war planning.
Yeah, and that's what makes us nervous right now, that we don't have the comfort zone to know that we have that. We're at a very weak point. I think that's our sense, General.
Yes.
I think a lot of people that study this right fully understand that. And it makes us nervous because of these factors here all concerned. There's a lot of other stories we need to talk about today, but I want to get to the crux of your opinion on really this Middle East strategy right now.
Right.
Iran, something, all right, they're saying some sort of a strike is imminent. What that means, whether it's a pinprick or something a little bit bigger or whatever, we don't know. But this thing could get, as you've suggested before to me, General, could get ramped up pretty seriously, pretty quickly. There are those I talk to as well who believe that Israel, and correct, answer this for me. This is a tough one, but please, maybe you have an answer for this. I understand that there are some who would say or suggest that Israel, let me say this properly, would almost welcome some sort of a strike of some sort, whatever it may be, from Iran so that they can unleash some might against this evil empire. Is there truth to that, yes or no?
Oh, I would think so, yeah, absolutely. And you wouldn't have a full team, you know, that would basically back that. But you got to know that's in their thinking. I mean, the Iranians have been causing problems for decades now, not only for the United States since 1979 when they took over our embassy, but they've been supporting all of these groups, all of these terrorist groups for a very long time. They were putting millions of dollars into Hezbollah in Lebanon for decades. And of course, they're the ones that armed the Houthis. They've armed Hamas. And so they put a lot of time and effort and money behind all this support. And all they do continually, Malcolm, is create chaos. There's no peace in their mind. There's no bringing countries together. They want to destroy Israel. And so at some point in time, this is going to come to a head. And it may be soon. We don't know.
You know, I want to take it one step further. It just dawned on me a moment here. We talk about strategy, and you've already mentioned and disclosed moments ago, General, and you are accurate to point out the intelligence and the strategic nature and the weaponry and the power and all of this that Israel possesses. They are superior for a size and scope of a nation like theirs on the planet. Wow. I mean, it is a three-letter word. Wow. It's nobody possesses not that size nation. I mean, it's what they've got there is pretty remarkable. Having said that, do you think that there is a reasonable possibility or not that they had to know what they were doing by striking the consulate in Syria and killing the high-ranking military and the Revolutionary Guard there, some of those soldiers as well? They had to know, I'm guessing, this is just me talking, but I'd like you to verify. I mean, this wasn't just an accident or a casual hit. They had to know they were going to strike at the Iran, the whatever you want to call them, the evil empire there. They had to know there was going to be a pushback. Iran has to do something. I mean, is this all strategic? I mean, Israel, safe to say they knew what they were doing, that this was all part of the plan, and maybe
Well,
that
it
plays
could
into my
be.
question a moment ago that that's the narrative that they want to have a hit from them. Yes or no? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a setup to
Right.
basically move Iran from taking some action so they can really slam them.
That's what
And
I'm wondering, General. I mean, that's not
yeah, it
far-fetched,
could
is
well
it?
be. That's not out of the realm of thinking or planning. But certainly Mossad and the agents they have in Damascus relayed back that these generals from the IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard, would be in Damascus on a certain day, just like they knew Soleimani was at the Baghdad airport. Trump took him out. And so this is all based on good, solid intelligence, and then the ability to come up with a course of action based on that intelligence, target that and target. Than whatever you would, the consulate, for example, or some other site. They've been bombing, a lot of warehouse facilities in Syria for the last couple of years. And so this is the thinking that goes on in the war room. And they send someone makes a decision, well, let's go. We're going to take them out. Bam, launch, take them out. And then we'll be prepared for the next phase, the consequences.
I thank you for that because I'm thinking the same thing. That's why I posed the questions to you. I could see the Israel brains in the war room right now in my mind, in my vision, General, and I could see them in there with all of these trying to defend on the north and the south and on all sides of their existence. They are under siege and and then Iran being thinking they'd get away with this with all the proxies stepping back and laying back and whatever they do back there. I don't know if they smoke cigars or whether they take crack cocaine. I don't really know what the hell they do with the jihadists, but I'm sure they've been laying back and just seeing all this play out. And I'm sure Israel in the war room is saying, we've had just about enough of this BS. We got to deal with Biden over there and everything that's going on there. We're fighting for our existence here. Iran's not going to stop. We see what Hezbollah is doing. We're going to get the consulate, see if we can't wake them up that way. That way they'll come and strike us here. We'll then set off the firearm. You got everything ready over there, guys? Okay, let's do it, man. I mean, I could see something happening to that level where they said, okay, all bets are off. We've had enough. We got to kill that regime. They're creating too much hostilities for us. I mean, that could be, right?
No, absolutely. As I've talked about, you have courses of action, and then you have what they call the escalation ladder. That's a term used in strategic planning, where you have a ladder and you go up the ladder based on the threat and what the situation may be. And when you get to the top of the ladder, that could be nuclear warfare. At the bottom of the ladder, it could just be a jet coming in and bombing someplace. So that that ladder of escalations considered by the Israelis, and that's how we do the planning in the Pentagon.
I get it. No, I totally get it, sir. The escalation ladder, which is perfect, it plays from a strategic military standpoint to what I think, you know, I'm just connecting some dots here as I've been following this story. And it seems to me that Israel is hopefully they're outsmarting the enemy just enough to be able to have
well,
victory.
They are smarter. These people over there have a very low IQ for the most part, except those working in the nuclear business in Iran and probably the oil business. But, they often said the Iranian down in the ranks, they're not very capable. They're not battle veterans, so to speak. And they've said that a lot about when Iraq and Saddam Hussein kicked their ass several decades ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure the Iranians are all that tough and can fight that well, but they do have the arms, they do have the capability.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the mullahs aren't smart.
That's
educated,
right. That's
but
right.
A lot of the people in there probably, you know, they haven't really done any campaigns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because they use surrogates.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
the Iranians do. They use other.
Well, it's all proxy. It's all surrogates. Yeah. That's 100% right. 100%.
Yeah,
well, they don't have the courage to deal with. I mean, and they're very slippery people in how they operate. Again, and, you know, the worst part about it is from a military standpoint, and you know damn well what I'm saying now, when the rules of engagement are that you're okay with dying, in fact, it is your ultimate goal is to die for Allah, and that becomes your... That's a difficult enemy when death doesn't matter anymore and you're cool with it. And no matter how many people take out, that changes the rules, doesn't it, General?
Well, yeah, you just take them out early. Like I used to say with Arafat, make sure he doesn't get up in the morning. Send him to Allah.
Right.
Send him to Allah early. That's what you do.
You almost have to do something. I mean, at this point, it's getting pretty strange out there and all of this. Okay, all right, General, here's what we'll do. Stay there a moment here. There's another very interesting story I want to bring listeners up on, and I definitely want to get your thoughts and opinions on this other incredible story that involves North Korea and China that Dr. Lee Ming-Yen will talk about in moments here. But then I also want to get to Pfizer. I do not want to miss that today because, listen, I have serious reservations about giving any more blank checks to the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence community. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry, but... You know, you piss on me once, shame on me, piss on me twice, still shame on me, piss on me three times. I've had enough. You know what I mean, General? You know,
yes, absolutely.
I've had enough. So that's the problem with the whole thing. You can't trust them. You just can't trust these people anymore. I mean, how many times you got to have this happen before you say that's enough, uncle, I give up. You know,
absolutely.
Donald Trump knows that. He sees what's happened. This whole Pfizer thing, it's pretty sick. And, you know, lessons learned. I mean, you got to think about this, people. When do we learn lessons in this country to wake the hell up?
Yeah.
And not
Malcolm, by the way, they've never needed Pfizer.
Yeah.
They had plenty of plans and for overseas surveillance. CIA's been doing it.
Well, no, they did need it, General. They needed it to try to blow Trump up and try to mess him up. That's what they needed it for.
Huh. Yeah, exactly. And so it was never needed. It's not needed now.
Yeah, I know.
You want to be able to go warrantless without serving warrants on any innocent Americans. That's what it's about. Just go in and arrest them like they did the J-6ers.
Yeah, I see you'll be about as wound up on me. And I didn't know what your position on this was, but nothing surprises me. I just put it out there and keep it real. But we'll come back and talk about Pfizer just ahead. But that gives listeners, thanks for that, what you just said. That gives them a... That kind of tells you what we're going to have a fiery conversation about this Pfizer business, this Intelligence Act. You know, we've lost the intelligence communities in this nation. And again, what did I start with, my friends? What did I say? Foreign adversaries or domestic operatives? Who's the real threat to Americans? You know, it's a tough one, but people, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. At least we know who the foreign adversaries are. We know who the enemies are, and we know how to deal with those bastards. But the internal people, like our founders and framers warned us, man, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope, people. I got to tell you what, that's what they told us, warned us for the internal enemy. Not so much to worry about these other cats we can deal with, but Boy, were they right. Tell me that wasn't a warning sign for all time. Sheila Louise, man.
Well, we covered that. We covered that in detail of treason, enemies foreign and domestic,
there
in
you
our
go.
Books, Beyond Treason, Invisible Treason.
Let me tell folks about those books
all
now.
Those dots.
Yeah, they're in the America Out Loud bookstore. Invisible Treason in America and Beyond Treason, The Aftermath of Destruction. Also on the front page, just below the news feed, you'll see there's a books that you can, there's a back and forth you can go. And those are a lot of the books we talk about on air, some of the newest books we are discussing on these programs. That changes every week or two, that list of books there. But if you go to the menu, click on the bookstore, you'll get the full bookstore. I just typed in Paul Vallelet right there, and all of his books come up. Realty Prism, Mindless War II, America's Endgame. I mean, the treason books, we just talked about a couple of the newest ones. And they've got some other great co-authors here. Our wonderfully blessed Mary Fannin is in there. General Tom McInerney, just a wonderful man, terrific military guy as well, dear friend, and one of our experts on the platform. Okay, friends, so we're going to take a pause here just a moment here. AmericaOutloud.news is, of course, the news site and the platform. Doing some amazing work. I could not be prouder of the people we have fighting for liberty and justice for all. Man, that's our mandate, isn't it now? You know, that's our mandate. That was in our hymn. It's who we are. It's what we stand for. And I could not be prouder, like General Paul Vallelet, for instance, and part of our team here, and to be in the battle with these kinds of people, best in class, engineers, scientists, medical doctors, naturopathic nurses, military generals, intelligence. Well, we got about it all, I have to tell you. It's a hell of a family. Go to the menu, click on authors. I'll do that right now. Let me see. Let me get it right here. Authors and hosts. That's the right on the menu. The menu button's on the right side of the platform. And you'll get a beautiful look of all those beautiful faces here. Talk about a cross-section of beautiful people in America. There they all are right there, man. Marvelous people and best in class. You'll see them all there. And you'll see General Paul Vallelet there. If you click his picture, in fact, his profile come up and his books will be right there, by the way. So, and then you can go to the bookstore and get those books. All right, friends. Also, AmericaOutloud.shop. And let me not forget to tell you that we've been talking about some great products there lately and in recent times here. One of them is we have a featured offer that's on the front page. Dr. Peter McCullough's Healthy Heart product is there from the Wellness Company right now. It changes every week, that product. You'll get 25% off that first order of that product, their Healthy Heart. This is, well, like it says right there, fuel your most important muscle. And God knows it is. Without a heart, you know, we get one heart, we get one brain. Darn well, we got to use both and protect both, friends. I have to tell you, man, really, though, that's the way I see it, man. Your heart and your brain. That's like the Wizard of Oz, the Scarecrow, remember? and the Tin Man, right? One we didn't have a heart, one a brain. That might be the rallying call for the Marxist left, actually. I don't know. Might be I'm just saying. Don't. I'm just saying. All right. So anyways, 25% off their first order on Healthy Heart. The other product I just briefly tell you about that I am just so enjoying. My college daughter's enjoying it as well. And kids, my wife even loves these, which is amazing. And talk about fighting high blood sugar, chronic inflammation, high cholesterol, even overweight problem, whatever. It's Heal Right. Man, this stuff is phenomenal. I totally endorse this. Micronutrient bars. It's fighting back food as medicine. And General Paul, you need to get some of these as well. It comes in little micronutrient bars. Man, they taste like great. But there's got all the stuff in there to fight back and keep us healthy. They have like lemon, blueberry, chocolate, pomegranate, apple, fig, a peanut butter one. Man, they're damn good. Small little bars. You just pop those in there and they're dynamite. Heal Right. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. Check that product out. 20% off using the code OUTLOUD. We negotiate all those discounts. You can't get them anywhere else but here at America Out Loud. It's part of our mandate. Well, that we do with our companies that we represent, and we're thrilled to have them. I love this product, Heal Right. Heal from within. That's important, friends. All right, take a pause here. We're joined back here. Dr. Lee Manyang will be on with us in just moments here. And General Paul Vallelet will be back with us as well here on The Voice of a Nation.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, my fellow Americans here. Always a privilege to be with you here. It is indeed my privilege, and thank you for joining us on the mission here at America Out Loud Talk Radio. So this program, now the voice of a nation, is heard every Saturday, 10 and 6, opposite of Viewpoint this Sunday on Sunday with yours truly. We got a phenomenal guest group of guests this week on Viewpoint. You got to join us on that broadcast. The great journalist, she was with CBS for many years. Really like this lady. She's one of the best journalists ever. Cheryl Atkinson be here on Viewpoint this Sunday this week. Booker Scott, one of my favorites here. And Maggie Thorpe with Dr. Jim Thorpe, his wife. Man, she's got a blockbuster piece about the Associated Press. Wow. And Booker Scott on NPR. It's going to be a great show right there, I have to tell you. Also, Lieutenant Joe Panguero will be here. Professor Pedro Blas Gonzalez will be on with us. Fantastic. He's one of my favorites. I love to have him on. He's just a smart, smart guy. I love talking to smart people because it elevates the conversation. And hell, it makes me look good. So it's a lesson they told me as a kid. They said to me, I remember this, really, my elders said to me, you know what? Secret to life, Malcolm, surround yourself with people that are actually smarter than you, that are actually freaking brilliant. And man, I said, all right, I like that recipe. I'll do it, man. So that's what I did. And that's why I got you on, Paul. And Dr. Lee Meng Yang. Dr. Lee Meng Yang joins me right now here. Again, she was the virologist whistleblower calling out the CCP, has been a fighter, has been just a, I'll tell you what, she's a remarkable person. She is a patriot, patriot meaning she loves life. She fights for liberty and justice for all. She loves the American way. And that defines what we believe in America and who we stand, you know, what we stand for here, really. Okay, so this story now I want to jump into, and I think the general will be blown away by some of this here. I know I was. It was unbelievable here. So as I understand it, Dr. Lee Meng Yang, and I'm going to have you explain to listeners, and we'll keep it simple here, so because people really, this story is so out there. First of all, this was through your research, your exclusive research, it was proprietary. This is not through lewd media, I believe. So this is not out there in a lot of areas yet. And you discovered some very interesting things about the twin daughters that Kim Jong-un of North Korea had from in vitro. He can't even have children the normal way because the guy is just so out of condition. It's unbelievable. And now those kids were taken for medical reasons into Beijing, as I understand it. And now one of them is being held hostage there. Possible motives from Xi Jinping to control North Korea in the future. Tell us about this research, what happened, and what this is about.
Hi, Malcolm. Thank you. Yes, this is very unbelievable. It's not only come out because of my own research. Actually, it comes from our exclusive sources who is in the inner circle of Xi Jinping. And that's why we have a lot of evidence and details about this story. And briefly, what we can tell you that why Kim Jong-un brought his 11 years old daughter, Kim Ju-ai, in public for many times since the end of 2022 and promote the daughter as Morningstar General because Kim Jong-un has another daughter, twin daughter of this girl, secretly held by Communist China in Beijing as hostage. And that involves Xi Jinping's Jinxun plan. So briefly, because Kim Jong-un can't have his kid by himself, he's too fat to make the wife pregnant. So his wife, the first lady, has done the test tube babies in China, in Shenyang, which is a northeast big city. And in 2012, two of the fertilized babies put into the first lady's womb. And then at that time, initially, no one in China knows she was the first lady because she was not announced by Kim Jong as first lady. And all the process was secret there. But the spies of international liaison of central CCP realized the secret later. And they managed to find DNA from Kim Jong-un's grandfather, the founder of North Korea, Kim Il-sung, to do the comparison. And then they confirmed that the embryos are from Kim Jong-un. So when early February 2013, two girls were born by the first lady, and they were the premature babies born at 34 weeks. Right. And after the full term, one daughter, Kim Ju-ai, was brought back to North Korea. But China managed to use the pretext of heart problem to hold another daughter and brought her to Beijing and keep there as hostage.
Okay. And these are identical twins, right?
These are not identical because the different eggs. So they look similar. But they are not exactly similar.
But close enough that one could be look like close enough that you could fool people.
Yes, look like we. I have seen the photo. We didn't disclose it, but I've seen the photo of the girl. Yeah. She also has a round face, small eyes, like Kim Jong-un. And what China wants is secretly cultivate, brainwash this daughter. She doesn't know her family. She was told she's an orphan from the Chinese. That sacrificed the people, and then she would be the secret replacement if Kim Jong-un and the daughter not listen to Xi Jinping. So people would still thought she is Kim's daughter, and after that, they could remove Kim Jong-un's family and send this hostage to North Korea to continuously control North Korea.
Huh. Okay, so I mean, this story is out there for sure. I mean, it is like it's a worldwide soap opera of sorts. The way it has developed is any other media organizations, to your knowledge, Dr. Liu Mengyang, reporting on this story. I know the core of the story from, again, Xi Jinping's circle of influence, and you and your group, Lewd Media, worked on getting all these facts out. Is any other media report on this?
As I know, not yet, because, you know, all these the other sources, especially mainstream media, they're infiltrated by CCP, and me and Lewd Media, we are primary target for CCP to suppress. However, we do see the response now. So if you check the news, you will know just within 1 week of the revelation of this news through the media, Xi Jinping immediately sent a highest level delegation since the pandemic to North Korea, claiming that they visited North Korea for friendship year. However, guess what happened?
What?
So the second CCP leader visited North Korea yesterday, Kim Jong and Kim's family didn't appear in any occasion in the news. Maybe later they will meet and talk about the daughter, but the thing is, it's not usual. So it's really unusual and weird. It's not like how they treat CCP's delegation before.
Right. I did know this trip you just talked about, I did know about with North Korea and China. But we don't know that trip was based on this scandal, though, do we?
We know this is a response because our sources, they know that it's a time, and we believe it's a time to reveal this news, not because it's randomly a big news. It's because we need to destroy Xi Jinping's evil plan using North Korea to create instability in Northeast Asia, because it is aiming at the United States and the U.S. allies. So we are doing our strategic move to destroy this plan. And now we see the response.
So let me ask you now, do you believe Kim Jong-un, does he know this story now? Does he know that we all know, and that this twin girl, he knows all this, right?
He knows the twin girl, and he doesn't know so many details, like how China managed to compare the DNA.
Right.
It is we revealed. And also, Kim Jong-un managed to get that girl back for many times, but Xi Jinping regime always rejected it using the by the reason of treatment, better treatment. And also, what we reveal something Kim may not know before, that he has another 6 fertilized embryos in China's lab, including 2 male embryos. So even though this hospice girl doesn't work, China still could manage to use their backdoor bloodline to find the next successor to control North Korea and sacrifice Kim's family and their people.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. The whole thing is out there. Let me ask General Paul Vallelet now to step in with us, Dr. Liu Mengyang. And so if you're following this story, General, with the twins, and one is held up there and the other. Now, we have the photographs of the 11-year-old. And I mean, she's a child, but they have her dressed up in a dark navy blue military suit, like a professional suit. And she's in the photographs on AmericaOutloud.news. We've exposed the story. But the fact of where this is going now, and now that Xi Jinping, the game plan is to eventually have somebody in place who could replace, because they're now making this 11-year-old the replacement for Kim Jong-un. What can you add any sense to this? Tell us a little bit more. I realize you don't know all the nuances of this story, but what do you make of this?
Well, it's quite a story. It really is. And it's the first time I've heard about it. But, they're all very secretive, you know, and as Dr. Yan knows, the Oriental culture is very secretive. They keep very things close to the vest, as we would say, within the families. And so any kind of information that would leak out, or that they would try to conceal that as much as possible. And certainly they don't want any of this in the press or international press. But, you know, they could be well planning for the replacement for Kim Il-jong. Because there's no men, there's no boys that I have seen that are in the family, only girls.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. And he's not in the best health anyways. He never is.
He's a little pudgy, don't you think?
I think slightly, as well as the fact his health. I mean, the reports I've read, he's a very sickly man.
Hypertension and
smokes nonstop. I mean, all the ingredients for an early death, clearly. Maybe he'll take Putin with him. I don't know. But
No,
we need Putin here, right? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I gotcha. I hear you. We could read between those tea leaves real quick, but I hear you loud and clear, General. Dr. Lindman, yeah, I want to get over to talk about this Pfizer story. So you believe in, with everything you've seen in the research of this, this is a story to pay attention to. And you do believe that that is the mission, is this hostage girl would become the CCP replacement for this other girl. You're convinced of this?
Yes, I'm convinced by the details. And the thing is, the problem is not to replace King, that's not the goal. The goal is to control King's family, to create instability. For example, now you see North Korea always threatened to use nuclear weapons against the West. So that is the way Xi Jinping controls North Korea. And what we need to let people know is our source told us Kim Jong-un actually tried to get rid of Xi's control to contact the United States. What he wanted is to be admitted by the United States to continue their regime in North Korea and open the society, but Xi definitely doesn't like it. So that's why when Kim Jong-un invited the former NBA team to North Korea and also meet President Trump in 2017, after that, immediately, he, through his spies, meet Kim Jong-un and break the connection between the United States and North Korea. And also, the hostage daughter is very important in this plan because he knows he has the idea to contact the United States, but he need to control that.
And to your point, this is why you're seeing a lot of photographs now of the 11-year-old out there. We didn't see that before. That's new. You know, where he's bringing the daughter out.
So Kim brings this daughter out because he knows China could secretly replace this girl and his family. So now the girl appear in public.
So he's exposing her, in other words. Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. Okay. Thank you, Doug. Keep close by. And obviously we talk all the time, but, keep us posted as this story develops more. This is just unbelievable, this story. It's a head shaker. But, I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the world. I mean, my friends, this just fits right in with a lot of crazy stuff, I have to tell you here. All right, I want to take our time. I want to get over just to recap what's going on with Pfizer here. So it appears that, General, they did pass it. As I said up front of the broadcast, Speaker Johnson hightailed it down to Mar-a-Lago and had to do some improvisions here and modifications and what have you, as I understand it, and then did get it passed 273 to 147, but only for a 2-year period, not a five. He wanted 5 years, Johnson wanted. They only got it for 2 years. Trump finally placated the whole thing because they kind of kept talking about the foreign adversaries. I mean, this is rich. Everything I've read on this thing is beyond the pale. I don't know. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of a story, General, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, again, logical, perceptive, critical thinking minds would say we don't need that unless we're going to have it weaponized to use against the American people. And without warrants being served.
Well, they're saying they need it to go after the foreigners. You don't think they need it for that reason?
No, God, we're already after the foreigners. We've been doing that since World War II, since Stalin sent in all of his agents and so on. I mean, FBI.
But I guess, but this allows them, what I understand now, General, correct me on this, but this allows them to put a bigger net out there. They're going to scoop up American people in there as well. And we knew that early on. But what happens is with yeah. all of that, those big nets they put out there, then what happens is they're able to go into the courts and secretly, as we discovered through the Trump era, and secretly get the judge to just, I mean, the judge basically bends over anything they want. He gives them, man. There's no question. There's no argument. There's no evidence needed. There's no nothing. It's a blank check, basically, they're given from the courts. I think it's very suspicious myself,
But yet, Malcolm, they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about laws. They do whatever they want to. So with or without that, they'll do whatever they want
to. Well, see, that's the problem, what you say right there. And that's been happening from the beginning as to how this thing became a conversation anyways. Let me say this, General. Had they been good boys and girls and minded their own damn business and not tried to do the internal political games they've done, we wouldn't be arguing about FISA today, would we?
No, absolutely not.
But they abused it. They abused it.
They abused it, yes. And that's what they continue to do. Yeah, Merrick Garland, he's one of the ones we list for treason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And
Mayorkas and the other gangs back there, they're all guilty of dismantling America.
See, this is why I say, you know, when we talk about foreign adversaries versus internal general, you know, I read in one of the pieces here in The Hill, Republican senators are warning that the nation's spy program is about to go dark, and that much of the intelligence that goes into President Biden's daily briefing, could be lost, putting the nation at risk for surprise attacks. You know, I read that statement, General. I got to tell you, it really irritated me. It pissed me off. Well, the same thing would happen, General, if you leave the door to the border open and you allow all those people to come in. That would be the same damn thing as putting the nation in risk for surprise attacks, you fools.
No, absolutely. That's why we recommended to Trump early on, he takes offensive action against the cartels with the military special op operation to take the cartels down in 7 days. That would have ended it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but
the defense of the part of the place.
They put statements like this out, like we're supposed to believe it, though. And you're doing everything else that's wrong to invite those problems, but somehow we're supposed to think this FISA is the Holy Grail because it's going to do what you're not doing everywhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just
It doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Now, listen to this. Susan Collins out of Maine says, I'm very disappointed in President Trump's assessment of FISA. It is an essential tool. It may need it to be amended, but it's absolutely essential, as everyone in the intelligence community will tell you. And then Marco Rubio warned that the failure to pass the bill could cripple the nation's intelligence. I don't know if there is much intelligence in D.C. to begin with, General, just being a smartass here. But
if there is, it's very low.
Yeah, I'm just saying here. I know I'm being rough here, but if we can't spy on foreign terrorists and foreign spies overseas, we're out of the intelligence business. Yeah. And there's a whole list of these cats coming out talking about reforming it. Trump come out initially and his message, General, on True Social was just a couple of days ago, kill FISA, all in capital letters, which he loves to use when he's irritated. It was illegally used against me, you think? And many others. They spied on my campaign. They sure did. Trump turned on this is what he put on True Social. All right, that's it. We're out of time here. Big thank you here to General Paul Vallelet and great conversations here, Dr. Li Mingyang. And don't forget the books in the bookstore as well. Be looking at all of this back on the News Center and AmericaOutloud.news and get it out there, of course, here, friends. We're on the front lines fighting for liberty and justice for all. Thank you for joining me here on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.